all of us here at Troy Church in Troy, Alabama, thank you for tuning in to our podcast. We are a family in Jesus that aims to love God, love one another, and love the world. If you would like more information on who we are, what we believe, or how to get involved, please visit us at troychurch.tv or email us at info@troychurch.tv.
Today I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 6, 5 through 9. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. Troy Church, this is the word of God.
Good morning. My name's Zach. I get to lead pastor here, and so glad to see all of y'all. Any first through third graders that hadn't got to leave yet can head up the hill to Troy Kids, anybody that hadn't made that trek yet. Shout out to all the solo dads this weekend for Women's Retreat. We made it and doing okay, and just a huge celebration that we have 43 of our Troy Church women down at a beach retreat now. I think a lot of them are starting to head back, and just really cool things that that event has always served year after year as a connector amongst our women and also our women to Jesus. Here's a picture from this weekend too, so very cool. If you didn't get to go this year, hopefully you'll be able to just put in mind to make that a thing next year, and we'd love to have you in that. We will pick back up in Ephesians chapter 6. This will be our last Sunday in Ephesians before we take a break for kind of Holy Month, or to gear up towards Easter, as we take several weeks to prepare for what that is, as familiar as it is, to be sure that we don't just walk through that without really feeling and remembering all the things that we ought to during that time. So this week we'll jump back into Ephesians, and we're talking about work, about redeemed work. We started that last week. We talked about the perspective of being an employee, and we broadened that out to if you're a student or really anything you find yourself putting yourself to, a stay-at-home mom, even somebody in a retirement season that's figuring out what that time is to serve family and serve hobbies and serve the generations that are coming up behind you. Whatever that looks like, what it is to approach your work, to hear these words from Paul, address your work. And we talked about how you're best at your job, or whatever that looks like for you, is a direct application of the gospel. We also talked about, and I'm glad Garrett got to read from a version that did the slaves and masters wording. We spent a good half of the front part of that sermon talking about that context and how we make that jump from that slave and master conversation to an employee-employer conversation, and encourage you to look through our digital bulletin at the end. You can get on Spotify or podcasts and listen to that, and that will be an important thing for you to understand to approach this passage, and encourage you to go back and listen to that. As we go into today, we'll primarily look at that last verse, that verse 9, that talks about masters or lords, or in our contextually, employers. So I want all of y'all to think, and I hope this doesn't ruin any of y'all's morning, I want you to think of a bad boss that you have had or that you have, a bad teacher, a bad coach, any bad authority outside of your household that you had. And again, I'm sorry. Why was it bad? What makes you think like, oh gosh, how did it affect you? That could have been because they were a bad person, or because they were a ill-equipped person, or maybe there were some unmet or unspecified expectations. There could be a whole host of reasons why you think of whatever person you just thought of and you're like, ugh, like, I don't want to do that again, or I'm doing that right now and it's not fun. Chances are that the presence of that person in your life mattered. It's a big deal. It may have or may be affecting moves, like transitions across cities. It can make you move places. It can make you move jobs. It can hurt you. It can give you anxiety when you wake up and you're like, I'm about to have to go be led by this person. It's a huge deal. It's a huge factor of all of us in our day-to-day life. Some of you in here are bosses and leaders. Some of you will be one day. A lot of us are not, and that's a good thing. Not everybody is suited or gifted to be a manager or a leader, and that's okay. That's a good thing. Some of us are built and bred to be led in a place, and that will be our life, and that's a good thing too. But I think the concepts and components of Paul teaching leaders or employers will inform all of us, because all of us have some kind of burden of leadership in some way. It might be at home, and even if not there yet, you're still responsible for leading yourself. And these concepts are applicable to that. They're really good. They're really important. How Jesus affects and informs our leadership. Again, whether it's ourselves, whether it's a little pocket, or whether it's a massive company, Jesus changes and informs how we approach that kind of leadership. So this is important for all of us today, because far be it from us who are ambassadors of Jesus to be anybody's first thought when somebody stands up and says, I want you to think of a bad leader in your life. We have the Holy Spirit in us. Far be it from us to ever make that list in somebody's heart and mind. So I'm going to pray towards that, and we're going to get into this in Ephesians chapter 6. Let's pray. God, help us hear this word. Expose us, even if it's hard. God, I pray that if we're left with questions, that we don't just drop it and move on, but that we would, in curiosity and in urgency, follow up, get help, ask, have conversations. Help this affect our Monday through Friday in a big way that makes a big deal of you, and we ask you in Jesus. Amen. So in the last part of this passage, we're going to look at instruction that Paul gives. We're going to look at a warning, and we're going to look at a reason. Instruction, warning, and reason. So first with the instruction. So Paul says, lords, again, this is the employer half, like leaders. He says, do the same to them. So that's the first thing we're going to look at, this instruction. Everything I just told employees of how to interact and how to walk and how to apply your time and your energy. He says, bosses, I want y'all to do the same thing to them. So what is do the same talk about? And there's so many things we could reach back up into Paul's word to employees and grab that Garrett read. And I'm just going to give a few of them. He says, when he's talking to employees, he says, I want you to do the will of God from the heart, like work from your heart. He says, render service or serve with a good will, like good intention. And then he says, because you'll receive reward. Like this is all for eternal things, like work as you're working for God, not as you're working for your temporal employer. So not in the moment, but towards an eternity. And all these things in view of Jesus being your ultimate Lord, and him being the Lord of your Monday through Friday and your mundane work, him being the Lord of all things. So he's looking at the boss and the leader and saying, hey, all that stuff, I want you to do it too in your leadership. And I want to break down a few of those. First, what does it look like for a boss to do the will of God from the heart? And I think we'll hear an addressing of our heart toward the end again in the last point. But for now, it's again just emphasizing Paul in his service to Christ, staying in line with Christ, that he doesn't really want any of our obedience, our response, or the things we do or don't do as a Christian to come from this white-knuckle obligation. He wants us to do everything from a changed heart. He wants our love and our service and the good things we do and our putting off bad things that hurt us and harm us to be motivated naturally from our heart being transformed, and our leadership is no different. I think this is Paul looking at a boss and being like, hey, the Holy Spirit of a living God lives inside of you. The fruit of that Spirit, like the effects of that Spirit being inside of you, is gentleness, kindness, love, patience, goodness, self-control. Like it ought to be really authentic and natural for you to be a really good boss. because you're full of the Holy Spirit. I want this to be a natural outpouring of your heart for you to be authentic and integrated as a leader. It's one thing for us to respect boundary and policy and not go around forcing Christ in our workplace, but it's a whole nother thing to change identities when you go to work and forget that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, or for you to suppress the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. I think Paul's like, bosses, it's your heart. You have a new heart, so let your new heart beat as you lead. Service with a good will. I think it makes complete sense for Paul to look at an employee, like a servant, and say, hey, you need to do a good job, like be all in at work, and serve, like with a good will, like want to do a good job serving. But it is so wild that he looks at the boss or the master in that he could say, hey, y'all do the same thing. Serve with a good will. Even more so in this day and time, this is a wild reversal of roles. We're going to talk about this after Easter, and it's going to be wild, and we're going to deep dive into this. But in Ephesians 5:22, we see husbands and wives. We see Paul say that the husband is the head of the wife, and we're going to get into all of that, I promise. We're going to talk about that and what that means. But in getting ready for that, because I've already started getting ready for that, it was a very common analogy or metaphor for the Greeks to look at the body and talk about headship. And it'd make perfect sense for Paul to say, hey, the husband is the head, so wives, serve the husband, serve the head, sacrifice for the head. But what Paul ends up saying is, hey, husbands are the head of the household, they're the head of the wife, and then he says, husbands, serve in a life-giving, sacrificial way for your wives. He flips it and reverses it. And he's doing the same thing here. It'd be natural for this culture for Paul to point at the employees and say, hey, make your servants serve you. For him to tell the servants, like, hey, serve their bosses, serve your leaders. But when he says, do the same thing, he's looking at the employees, the bosses, the leaders, and he's saying, serve your employees. And it is a wild culture flipping upside down kind of moment in this day. I want to take you to what Jesus says in Matthew 20. This is Matthew 20. It starts in verse 20. I'm going to skip down to verse 25. This is a mom, an embarrassing mom, coming up to Jesus and being like, hey, like, can my sons, can my boys, they're great, like, sit really close to you in heaven one day. And this is what Jesus, how he responds. I'm going to start in verse 25. Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Servant leadership looks like Jesus. It is a huge core deal of what he modeled and what he did for us. So whether you're leading yourself or whether you're in a managerial or authority leadership role, wherever, how can I position myself? Self-leadership, kind of like the oxygen mask deal in the airplane. How can I position myself and others for good happening in them and through them? Jesus, even as Lord of all things, has served us by dying for us. He served in a sacrificial way for us through his life and death. I think Paul is pointing to that and saying, serve in a sacrificial way for your workers. You're not Jesus, but you're his ambassador at work. And all of this, he's like, hey, because this is about heaven, it's about eternity, it's not for now, toward the reward of Christ, not for the moment, because I know what you're thinking, any of y'all that are employers. You're saying, like, Zach, I got some sorry tail workers. They take really long lunches, and they hide in the bathroom on TikTok, and they steal office supplies, and like they don't even care, and you don't even know. I'm not serving them. I don't want to serve them. And I want to just remind you the ethic, philosophy, the theology of Paul, who wrote in Ephesians 10, 2, that you were once dead in your sins and trespasses, following the prince of the power of the air. My version of that is like, hey, all of you were satanic zombie rebels against God. You're following Satan, you're dead, but you're kind of alive, you're acting in that. And while you were doing that, Jesus came to you and gave his life and death for you. That is what God did for me. If your serving is always conditional, then that's just the service of the world. That's not reflecting the service of Christ that served when we did not deserve his service. You have an opportunity to serve bad employees and so express the gospel. Am I saying never reprimand, correct, or even fire an employee? No way. At the end, I'll actually call you as an employer to more of that, to be more of a leader and more of an assertive developer. But I think it's Paul asking all of us, self-leadership or leading a group, how can I serve practically from the heart, developmentally? And that's going to look so different from all of us. And I invite you to let's talk about it. Let's talk about what that looks like because it matters in your growth in Jesus. So first thing's instruction from Paul. Second thing is warning. So going back to the passage, he says, masters, do the same to them. That's what we just talked about. This is the warning. Stop your threatening. Stop your threatening. What does that mean or not mean? Does that mean that somebody just continually not showing up or showing up late or doing whatever wrong that we just always let it go? Absolutely not. I don't think that's what this means or not at all. I think this is Paul asking us to consider, is our primary mode of leadership, and again, I think we could think about this in our households. I think we could think about this in even how we speak to ourselves, the inner voice in ourself. Is it primarily, do this or I will fill in the blank? Is our primary mode of leadership like, you will do this or here's the consequence? Is that primary? Is our primary leadership style to lead with threats? Because it's not the way of Jesus. I want to be so super clear. God issues warnings and judgments a lot in the Bible, and some of them are really fiery and scary and terrifying. Jesus speaks of hell and eternal judgment a lot, and that is so a thing. But that is not his primary method of leadership towards gathering of people to himself. He primarily calls and invites. He comes for us, and he speaks words over us that call us towards him, let us behold him. And it changes us. Come to me and I will give you rest. Follow me. He's clear on consequences, but it's not this leadership manipulation. Jesus comes in love and he changes hearts. He shows himself and invites us in. And I just ask you again, over a group or toward yourself, are you leading primarily by consequence and threat, or are you leading the heart? Again, even yourself, beating yourself, this cycle of beating yourself up and then giving up, or casting hope and vision and purpose forward. I think some of the things that looks like specifically is Jesus asked so many questions, and he responded to so many questions with questions. Do you ask questions or give the benefit of the doubt as a boss or a leader? Instead of, if you're late again, you're out. Is it, hey, I've noticed you've been late a lot, or you're distracted a lot, or you've been, you know, making these mistakes a lot. Is there anything going on in your life? Is there anything I can do to help? Asking questions instead of primary leading from threat. Casting vision and leading and pointing to reasons and whys instead of prodding. I can't help but be afraid that some like Hallmark card pastor writer made this up and it's not true. But I've heard tell that Western shepherds lead sheep by prodding them like from behind, or even a Western kind of cattle scene of driving cattle. And in the Far East and the Middle East, where Jesus would have gotten his cues from the shepherding metaphors and analogies, the shepherd's in the front leading and calling. Whether that's a thing or not, it's really cool, and it's a real thing of how Jesus leads us and calls us towards him. And we have the opportunity in our leadership to bear image to that. That's why us as leaders casting why is so important. There's some good secular leadership books that I like. Two of my favorites, one's called Drive by Dan Pink. He talks about autonomy, mastery, and purpose being the main things that motivate people. There's another one called Culture Code that's similar. It says that safety and vulnerability and purpose are what motivate people. Two things that are common in both those lists is purpose. Like, as a leader, are you pointing to the purpose you're calling your employees to? You individually, as you're calling yourself to, you know, better yourself or whatever you're trying to do in your life, are you, you know, reminding yourself of the reason? I can't help but think of what it is to be God's people, to be a hopeless people that's been approached by a living God, saved, given life, given spirit, all towards a very clear purpose. Like, this is the way in leadership of Jesus. When you lead well, not by threat or by prodding, but you're like Lewis and Clark, like blazing the way, you bear the gospel. Like, and you bear the image of Jesus at your workplace. I'll give you this question for this point. Am I leading others and myself from behind or in front? Like, am I leading others and myself from behind in a prodding, threatening, no purpose clarified or communicated, no effort given to that way? Or am I out in front pointing to why, asking questions, benefit of the doubt, leading from care and vision instead of threats and consequence? Last thing is the reason. So masters, do the same to them. Stop your threatening. So this is a because. Stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. I think just in a point, this is Paul saying, like, hey, y'all have the same Lord. Whether you're the CEO or whether you're the janitor, you have the same Lord. Like, you have a common authority that's the Lord of the universe. And in that, there's a level playing field and a mutual respect that you must have for each other. I couldn't help but think of this, approaching this. And we talk about partiality a lot in our church. We have a lot of the times. I think we often think about partiality, and I think it's right and well to do this, as I'm no better than them, which is true. I think of the book of James. He's talking about different economic, social classes, and that is a thing, and that is true and right. But if we just hold on to that at our workplace, it could lead us to this space of, I'm broken, they're broken, I'm not a great leader, they're not a great employee, and that's the best we have, a complacency as a leader or an employee. As much as this means that under the gospel lens, we're no better than one another, it also means that we're no less than one another. That you and your employee are also no less. I'm going to tell you what I mean by that. Regardless of faith, even if you are leading unbelievers, you're both made in the image of God. And they deserve a respect for that being made in the image of God. If you share faith together in Jesus, you required the same life and death of Jesus and you received it. You have that together. You have Christ. If you're Christians, you're filled with the same fullness of the Holy Spirit. You're headed towards the same eternity through the same process and growth. Bosses and supervisors, you are part of the growth, Jesus-conforming process in your people that you lead. You are a tool being used by God to be a part of the sanctification of his people. Are you present in that? Like, are you aware of that burden, that responsibility, that privilege to be that big of a part in people's life? No, you're not responsible for every facet of their life. To breach that would possibly be even inappropriate or cross some boundaries or against policy. This might apply in varying degrees to different people, of course. But at the very least, you're interacting with what so many people spend most of their waking hours doing. And your leadership of them and it pointing to Jesus matters greatly. It matters greatly. It counts. It's not separate. So before we point to policy and sit on the sidelines in this, we need to understand this might even be void of us mentioning or using words all the time, and simply through good, caring leadership until other opportunities open. But the reality is some of us are bad bosses and leaders to ourselves and to other people because we just don't think it counts. We don't think it's a part of our faith, and it absolutely is. It is very much a part of the work of Jesus in our life. And in that, I ask you to ask God, how do I need to address how I'm positioning other people and even myself? So by positioning, like, am I treating with importance and value and urgency the fact that I have a role or have a part or will one day have a part in developing people? Yes, occupationally, but also as a person. As God through the Spirit is changing them and giving them growth, am I taking that seriously? Am I putting them in a good position to do that? I'm going to go over these three questions again as we pray, and I want you just to ask these before God, again, of your leadership, of groups, of your leadership over yourself. First, how can I serve? That could be so broad, regardless of what stage of life. And I think what we want, or you might want, is me to give you, 10 things you could go off and do. I think what would be far more fruitful or productive is if you'd commit to go from here into your week with a mindset of how can I practically serve people around me? Like if that's just kind of a filter in your mind as you look towards people. And I think God will be leading in what that could look like. I think they could be way more simple and practical than we might think they would be. How can I serve, especially if I'm a leader, an employer, how can I serve my folks and show love despite what they're doing for me or not? How can I serve? Secondly, am I leading from behind or in front? Am I more of a threatener? Or if we don't do this, out of fear and insecurity and lack, if we don't do this, this isn't going to happen? Or am I pointing and calling and inviting and asking questions? And lastly, how do I need to address my positioning of others and myself? Talk to God about these things. Talk to us. Let us help. We don't know everything, but we'd love to be a sounding board or a helper for you regarding this. We'd love to be a helper or a sounding board for you if you're even exploring what it is to be a part of Jesus' leadership, maybe for the first time. We want to talk to you. That's what we're for. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. We'll have some elders at the door during the song and after service especially. I'll be up here for a little bit after the service and then outside for a little bit. Find us and talk to us. We'd love to talk to you about, hey, I work in this context or setting or business. I don't even know what this looks like to apply, but I want to. Help me. Like, we'd love to do that. That's what we do. That's what this is about. So talk to us. Respond with God, with us. Let's pray.
Thanks again for tuning in, and don't forget to check us out on Facebook, at our website, or even in person right here in Troy. All information and links are in our description. Thank you, and God bless.